Hey guys, what's up?
Yo,
yeah, man.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm great, definitely. Ready for Sinterklaas, huh?
Yeah. Today, of course.
Yeah, the past weekend and today, it's a bit crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got a little one.
We don't. Two at this point. Ah. Yeah. But one that's really, she's old enough to
understand. Yeah,
to understand, and the other one's 5 months old, so it's a bit too early.
So your wallet is burning at the moment.
My wallet's pretty burning, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So guys, how have you been doing in the past, a year or something?
Yeah, we've been doing good. I think last time we've talked, that might be actually a few years already.
Years?
Yeah, it was even before COVID, I guess.
Could be. Yeah. I was talking about this with another guy this day. Like, I use COVID in a lot of ways as an anchor in time. So, was it before COVID or after COVID? It's an easy way to,
And the weirdest thing is actually always I remember with ADE last year, it was like, hey, it was good to see you a few months back. But no, it was actually like plus 2 years.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, we're doing good. I've been working a lot in the studio. Now working on getting more shows. Like we've took the period of COVID to rediscover ourselves sound-wise as well.
Mm-hmm.
We noticed that we weren't having that much fun anymore in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And it took us 2 years, I guess, to realize we're just going to do whatever we feel like and what feels good to us.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, actually, it's been pretty good, I must say. Like, we've been having a lot of fun in the studio, making new music again, doing a lot of content on social media, working hard. And it's been good.
Started a label as well.
Oh, really?
So we've been busy.
What's the label called?
It's called High Mood Records.
What? High?
High Mood Records.
High Mood Records. Nice. Yeah.
And it's something totally different than what we've been doing with Tom and James. Because we started, it's kind of like lo-fi hip-hop music. And we're expanding a bit right now. But it's different than what we used to do with Tom and James.
I heard about that from Jay. Because he's your neighbor, right?
Yeah.
And he mentioned it that you guys were focusing on that as well.
Yeah, it's really nice to have, because we're all into music and we love to produce stuff. But if you have to produce, let's say the same genre that you're always doing, then it you can't do that every single day. And in COVID times, we had a lot of time on our hands. Like we were, suddenly you go from touring and having two or maybe three studio days a week, you go into only studio days. So we just decided, we have a lot of music that we also try, and we didn't want to release that on the Tom and James. So at first we were like, hey, let's just release it. But pretty soon we decided, no, let's do this bigger and let's start a label.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been doing that for 1.5 years as well. And that's really dope as well.
Yeah. Nice. And it's growing hard. And proud to say that we now already have 40 artists on the label.
Yeah,
40. Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, a big part of it, them are Dutch, but it's also now worldwide. It's more and more artists joining. So.
And it's lo-fi focused.
Yeah, so it's chill beats.
Yeah.
Like, lo-fi is a broad term for some. Like, it is funny. At first we thought lo-fi is this one thing, but there's so many sub-genres as well. Like, you always notice that in music, you can't put one sticker on music and then everything is dead. No, there's so much more going on.
So everything is kind of, that's why it's also called High Mood Records. Everything is mood based. So we kind of produce the beats in how we feel like, what would, if I'm in this kind of mood, what kind of music do I want to listen to?
Yeah.
That's the whole vibe. So we also got into Latin bossa nova kind of stuff.
Oh, that's cool too.
So it's all different kind of genres, but I think for now the main focus is lo-fi, and we're going next year we're going to go expand a bit more. We're going to expand a bit more.
Genre. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, chances are pretty big that I've listened to one of your songs, because I'm a big lo-fi chill kind of music listener. So I'm a big fan of it. It really helps me, especially lo-fi really helps me with like deep work, focused work.
Yeah.
And I'm a big Bossa Nova fan as well. So.
Oh, okay.
I'll send you a link after.
Exactly. Hey, back to the thing you mentioned, that you kind of reinvented the Tom and James sound a couple of maybe already years ago, at least months. How does a process like that, how does that go? Like, do you just go out and look for new genres, or how does that work?
Good question.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it took us some time, and not to like find the new sound, but to realize that we were ready for a new sound.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because we've been doing, like, let's say the EDM sound that we had, like the big roomish sound, we did that for quite some years, and we built quite a fan base with it. We did a lot of shows, so we were doing good. And then when we were feeling like we needed a new sound, like in our producer hearts, I think at first we were searching for a new sound, but we still kept going with the old sound.
Mm-hmm.
And we were kind of still, we were stuck in that same kind of loop of like trying new stuff, but then also when it's too new, you kind of want to polish it again so that we like it, or like we think maybe the fans would like it. And then we were like, okay, no, this is something we are not supposed to be doing. We should produce like totally free without thinking about it. And I think that took us, I think, like at least a year or one and a half during COVID. And then we started just producing stuff that we felt at the moment. And I think we've been doing that ever since.
Yeah. And it was funny, actually, like you started an alias as well. Yeah. Like you just felt like, okay, I'm making music now that's different to the Tom and Jane brand, but I like it a lot. So you wanted to do something with it. And I also helped with the productions here and there, or like it was mainly coming from you, but I was on the side as well. Just like, hey, maybe you can do this or that. Yeah. And I think that's also maybe an indication of that something, like you couldn't find your full creativity in the thing we were doing before.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it maybe took a longer time to switch over. Like I still love to make all kinds of genres, but
I think it was for you, it was because, you know, as a duo, you want to do stuff together and you want to have the same feeling together. Otherwise, I'm producing a song, he's producing something, and then to stay in the same sound, you are kind of like going in the middle. And I think that's not the right kind of view. I think you have to have the same view. And I think I was trying some new stuff. At the moment, you were not really sure what you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And then when I was trying the new stuff, James was also like, okay, kind of like this, let's see. And then he started producing some stuff on its own. And then we found something new out of that.
Yeah.
And I think that was what really helped to kind of...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think it's also pretty hard because you kind of get into this infinite loop where you already have your career going and you already are relying on a certain income from that sound because you get booked off that old sound, so EDM in this case.
Yeah.
And you just know in the back of your mind that if you were to switch your sound, you're probably going to notice that in your gigs as well, because you're going to need a whole new kind of market to tailor to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. It was scary. And I think that's why it took us so long to realize, like, hey, in the end, if we have fun, then the music will be better. I feel like. Yeah. And of course, you're going to lose fans. That hurts. That's painful sometimes. It's also scary to see like what are the reactions going to be. But so far, like, I feel like people are really positive about it.
Yeah.
And also what we did is we posted it more on social media. Like, we didn't want to send it first to labels, then wait on a clearance or to sign it. Then 3 months later, it comes out. Like, we were in such a good vibe in the studio that we were like, okay, we just want to share what we're doing. And we got a lot of positive reactions on that as well. Also a lot of views. So that was also a big motivator for us to keep going and to pursue like this new sound.
Yeah, I can imagine. And changing your genre, as I said, it impacts in a lot of ways, but if I understand correctly, like, sharing it with social media and getting instant feedback from the audience really helped you to push through that.
Yeah, I think we were at a point where we're like, okay, it's scary to change, because I think we did quite a big change. I think we went from, you know, music that you jump to, we went to music that you really dance to, and you know, it's more happy and more groovy, more funky, and it's scary to do that. But on the other hand, we were like, we don't really care, because if we don't do this, you know, we at least try something that we like, and that's the most important thing. So when James says it was scary to see if you lose fans or whatsoever, yes, on one hand it might be scary to see you lose like some dedicated fans, but on the other hand it gives you an option to find new people that like your new music. So I think that is the biggest thing we wanted to do, is to find a new audience. And on one hand it's scary, but on the other hand that makes sure that you kind of have the same feeling of when we started producing and when we started to become known for our music. Everything was cool, you know, social media became cool again, like, oh nice, we can do this, we can do that. Even DJing, like recording a live set, it was a bit like, okay, yeah, we have to do a live set again.
It's like, oh, nice,
you know, let's do a live set, let's do some mashups, and let's do some cool edits that people can hear at our shows. It brings back the fun again, I guess.
Yeah, that's something I hear a lot from artists after like the post COVID period, is that bringing back the fun and getting back to the passion where all of this has started with is kind of the main thing I've seen happening with a lot of artists. Because I think what most artists, and maybe you guys as well, have noticed is that during the years, you kind of get into this automated pilot, as in you just keep doing what you've been doing, and you don't really consciously think about what you're actually doing anymore. You just do it. And then COVID kind of helped to wake up and see things from a bigger perspective and realize, like, shit, we kind of got derailed here and we need to get back to the core, to having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's great that you guys dare to make the move. And my Siri's popping up as well. I thought I turned it off last week. But yeah, I think it's great to see you guys making the move and that it's actually working out for you. One of the things that I noticed with you as well, because I kind of keep watching you from a distance,
nice,
is that your content got a big upgrade in the past few months.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah. That's definitely something that we try to do a lot more. Like, back in the day, it was maybe, like, now I'm talking about 6 years back.
Mm-hmm.
It was maybe when a release came up, we posted 3 videos and maybe a countdown video or whatever, a teaser, and then the release was there and it was promoted from our end on.
Yeah, that's what we called artist promotion.
Yeah.
And then the rest was done by labels.
Yeah. Yeah, and nowadays it's way more like video reels, TikTok based. That's really something that we're spending a lot of time on, because one, it's fun. Two, it's rewarding. Where am I getting it?
That's it. No, and I think you say one, it's fun. I also hear a lot of artists that talk about they don't really like to do it.
Yeah, that's what I hear the most, like in coaching sessions here. Most artists I talk to say like, I fucking hate it, but I have to do it.
Yeah, and that's what, well, to be honest, we had the same.
Yeah,
we can say, yeah, we dove into it, we went for it, and hey, here we are. No, it was a struggle at first, because...
So what changed then?
Well, at first, it was like, oh, we have to create content, because, you know, you have to do it because you're an artist and everyone's doing it, so we have to do it. And then we did that, and you know, some videos are good and then some videos are really bad, and you're like, oh man, the algorithm, it's keeping me from getting out there. But then again, the algorithm is not made to hurt you or anything. It's actually made to make good videos, or videos that stand out even more. And then we also thought about, hey, if we are going to have to find a new, we are in a new genre, so we have to find maybe a new field of people who are listening to our music from now on. If we want to find those people, we definitely have to use our social media in the right way. And then also, you know, in the beginning, we were like, okay, what's cool? You know, what's everyone doing? What can we do? But then again, we didn't like making content then. So we decided, okay, content is needed, because you can put your music, you can put hours into your music, and then when it's released, you just let it go, and then nothing happens. Why would I put the hours into the music then? I want people to see and hear about my music. So I think social media is an important part of being an artist. But then... how to do the social media, that's all up to you. And I think everyone can find kind of their way of doing it. But it might take some time at first, and you really have to, like, it's like producing. In the beginning, you're not good at it. You have to, you know, fall a couple of times and get back up. And then, oh, one track pops up and it's like, oh, nice. And it's the same with videos or with content. It's like, you know, you're struggling, but then, hey, this one gets a bit more views. What did I do well? And then kind of see if you can do that again or do it better. And I personally think that that's the fun part about making content, kind of like puzzling and seeing what works well. Mm-hmm. And also, I think it's a really nice thing that videos don't have to look like everything was shot with a red camera. You know, you don't have to spend thousands of dollars on after movies to get some like to get thousands, like 1,000 views, and then be like, oh well, that's it. No, you can really use content in a way better way now.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, like, we don't know what's gonna score.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like we've had that multiple times that we're like, should we post this one? Nah, not sure. Let's try it. Okay, boom. With one, we had like 1.1 million views on it.
Yeah.
And for us, it was like, not sure. Maybe, you know, maybe it's fun.
The way how I see it and what I experience here as well is that content is the exact same as music. You know, like with your songs, it's the same thing. The best songs get thrown in the trash can. It's just that once you kind of decide, like, okay, let's see what it's going to do, that might be your next big hit.
Yeah.
You just don't realize it yet, because you listen to it from a different perspective than the first listener does. You just need to find a way to make it fun.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think you guys have found over the past period, is that you found a way to make social media fun for yourself instead of this tool you need to use to build your career. It's a different perspective on the same thing.
Yeah, I think for us it's now fun to test different things, like, hey, we really had fun making this video. Is this also working? Is this something we can do more often? For example, we did a video in the studio here where we put up like four CDGs, and then Tom produced our track on camera. So playing on the four players, like the Pioneer players, putting things together, then suddenly our whole track was there.
Yeah,
that's something that we tried out. Took us 4 hours to make. Just figuring out, like, okay, how are we going to do it?
Yeah.
Like 4 hours for, let's say, 30 seconds clip.
Yeah.
But in the end, it was fun and it was interesting content, I guess. Yeah. For me, it felt like that. And we see, compared to our other videos, people really liked it. And it's something we haven't seen before.
Yeah. And I want to add to that, you know, it sounds ridiculous doing a video, like recording it for 4 hours, but the 4 hours were needed for us to feel okay with the video, or like, yeah, I think this is how we want to show it to people. And it was the first time recording this kind of content. So the good thing is now we know how it works, or how it worked for us. So the next time we want to film it, it might be costing us only 15 minutes or maybe 20. So in the beginning, you will be putting in a lot of time, but it's the same with, like what you said, with producing. You know, back in the days when I was like, I don't know, 15, it took me 2 months to finish a track. And now I can finish a track in a day. That also doesn't happen every day, but I can finish a track in a day if I'd like to.
Yeah.
And that's the same with creating content. In the beginning, it's just a lot of time and effort, but you know, it will be good in the end, because you will be faster.
Yeah, and at the end, you know, the time investment, if you think about it, 4 hours for a 30-second piece of content, which might reach 100,000 people, or 60 hours for a 3-minute track.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
And eventually, your little piece of video could reach more people than your music does.
Yeah.
So it works the other way around as well. Your music will reach an audience, but your content will reach an audience too. And now having two ways of building the audience might speed up the process, let's say.
Yeah.
I think, and maybe you can say this is true or not, but what I think happened with you as well, maybe the biggest mindset shift for you guys is that you've overcome perfectionism.
Overcome is a big word.
Or at least say you've become better at it, because as you said as well, you don't need a super high quality camera to record a piece of content. Only that little sentence says about you that perfection went down. Quality still matters, but quality is subjective, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's an important step to take once you start thinking about, well, music production, but also content creation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, like, we both spend a lot of time on TikTok, unfortunately, sometimes. It takes a lot of time, but all the content you see is just with an iPhone. Hey, I'm going to record something, blah, 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 blah. I'm talking in my... to my screen, and then you post it, and then people will love it or whatever. Like, it has become so quick in a way, and that's something that we still searching for, to make it easier for ourselves as well. And I feel like that's sometimes like a hurdle that we still need to take. Like, okay, we just put our phone down, record, it's the first take, let's go post it. That's something like that we still struggle with like perfectionism in a way.
Yeah, so less creative but more in the moment.
Yeah. That's still something that's difficult, but it's funny, like you see it all the time, you're so used to watching it, but then when you try to make it on your own, then it's so difficult.
Right?
Yeah, then you're
but the best tip for that is probably to not make a video like 30 seconds and then when you make a mistake you stop and do the whole video again, but you just record yourselves for like you know, until you say something wrong, and then you stop, and then you just wait a second, you breathe, and you just continue with the video. And then maybe you have a 4-minute video in the end, but you just cut out the pieces that were wrong, and then you have a really fast video. Yeah. That's, I think, the best tip to get rid of the, all the takes that you have to do.
Yeah, I think that's an important one, because the keeping it real, let's say, is important these days. You know, the fact that content can be raw means that people want to see the real you and not the polished, edited version of who you guys are, but like the real version of who you are.
Yeah.
And in order to show that to people, you need to be super self-secured and not perfectionist.
Still something that we're working with and on, but I'm happy.
Especially in production as well.
But you've already managed to make a big step. You know, like I noticed a big shift in your content, in the amount of content, but also in what kind of content you guys posted. So people notice, and that's the most important thing. And the same as with your music, it's a process. You know, in 2 years from now, you will be the content kings, for example.
Let's go. I'll sign for that. But it's funny, we hear it from other DJs as well, like, hey, I saw your track, it's dope, and or I see your videos, really good stuff, or I like it, or that kind of stuff, that kind of feedback from the scene as well, that's big for us, and that makes it worth it as well.
And is it also that one of you guys, or maybe both of you, learned how to Photoshop or how to do Final Cut or whatever?
We can both do it. I think you did in the beginning. You did a bit more on the Premiere Pro side, but then now since we have the CapCut edit app, it's like, yo, this thing is fast. It's called CapCut. And it's I think it's an app by TikTok, right?
Yeah, it isn't named as an official TikTok app, but I think it's from the same makers. Or
yeah, so it's like an easy version of a Premiere Pro kind of thing. And it used to be on only in like on iPhone app, but now it's also a desktop app. So since we have that, like editing a video is so quick. So now we just edit our own ideas really quickly.
No excuses anymore.
No, there's no one can say Premiere Pro or it's expensive or I don't know how it works. You cannot say that because CapCut is free.
Yeah, and I think like we've both have been doing like Photoshop kind of stuff or video editing for as long as we've been doing it. Like we were always really interested in our on that subject ourselves, and we also did a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. I guess compared to other artists, like we saw a lot of artists that were like, oh, we work with a social media company or whatever, and we did everything ourselves.
I think that's the power behind it, because as an artist, this is the face. You know, like your personality is the brand. So it's hard to have another company delivering a message about your personality.
It's like really you want to do in the moment kind of stuff, I guess, because if I'm here on a Friday and I have this cool tune and I'm opening up a beer and I want to film that, or I have an idea with that, you know, oh, this might be funny, and then I just record it and then I can throw it into CapCut and edit it real quick, and maybe half an hour later I have a video. And if you have a social media guy or someone who needs to film it for you, then it's like, oh, hey dude, I have an idea. And then he's like, yeah, okay, it's Friday afternoon, I can do it on Monday. And then maybe on Thursday you have the video, and then it's, you know, you're a week late already. And if you do that with all the content, you also have to have an agenda, like, you know, keep calling that guy. And if you do it yourself, it's just way easier.
Yeah, and also takes away the part when like a company like that sends it back after a week, that you start doubting, like, hey, is it interesting?
Yeah, exactly. I think the biggest difference between having a company creating it or doing it yourself is also the authenticity of it.
Yeah.
So looking at that video on a Friday afternoon, people can just somehow feel that it's been you and that it's in that moment. And that's just something that's hard to recreate by someone.
Yeah,
definitely.
What I'm wondering as well is how much time goes into this on a weekly basis?
Okay, that's a good one because we do a lot of different things nowadays.
We work on our label,
we work on Tom and Jane. We also do productions for other artists. So we do a lot of stuff. But let's say Tom and Jane, including social media, content creation, I think we try to pick one day a week where we do just content for, you know, a couple of days or maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So let's say one day for one day every 2 weeks, half a day every week.
Okay.
Like, you know, Wednesday morning or Wednesday afternoon, just only content. We work with an agenda, like, you know, posting, okay, when are we going to post what? But I think we only work like a week ahead, nothing more than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're also creative, so a bit in structure.
Calendars don't work for you.
Sometimes it works, but
well, we need it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Cool. So I think it's that, maybe half a day.
That's doable.
Yeah,
I thought it was way more, but that's okay. I want to thank you guys for taking the time to explain this all, because I know a lot of artists out there are struggling with social media and the creation and like balancing out the time with music production. It's becoming a really big issue for a lot of artists. And I kind of feel like you've figured out how to combine the two things. So I want to thank you for sharing that. And series back.
I maybe got one thing to add, like what really changed the way I thought about social media and what we saw from the statistics as well. I think the audience we reach with Reels, TikTok, it's maybe 60-70% people that don't follow us. So that's something that was like a big eye opener for me.
So algorithmic.
Yeah, so if you post a lot, it feels like spamming a lot. So you're posting to the same people over and over again.
But yeah, so you mean if you have, for instance, if you have a song and you post about the song or you have the song incorporated into the video that you post, then we were kind of like, I think we did two or three maybe posts or videos, and then we just stopped doing videos about the song. And then we realized when we looked back at like a few releases before, we were like, oh my God, about this release, we did one video and then we just stopped. And the funny thing is that's because in our heads, we think, you know, everyone's seen the video, everyone's heard the song, but that's not the case. Mm-hmm. So because we have a lot of like new people on our Instagram and TikTok account that see the videos. So they haven't seen the video before or the one before that, maybe. So that I think that's what you mean when that kind of shifted in your head.
Yeah.
We also had a lot more ideas that were maybe like, you know, not even really different ideas from the other videos, but just more ideas that have had a bit of variety in them.
Mm-hmm.
That way you can create a lot of content.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to spam your followers because the algorithm will simply stop sharing your content if you keep spamming that much. Mm-hmm. And it will start sharing it maybe 3 days later or 5 days later or whatever. So it's impossible to spam your current audience, but every piece of content will reach new people as well.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of growth is for artists and for you guys as well.
Yeah.
For example, realization. Good
if you're just starting out and you're thinking like, hey, this is my first video, I don't want only my friends to see it.
Yeah.
It's going to reach other people.
Exactly.
But chances are it's not even going to reach all your friends.
Exactly. You have to pay for that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Cool, guys. Thanks for taking the time and speak soon.
Yeah, cool, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye.